States v. DeBerry, Mr. Connor. Ms. Connor, sorry.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I am Carrie Connor, and I am here today on behalf of Floyd DeBerry. The sole issue in this case, Your Honors, is that the denial of the third point for acceptance of responsibility under United States Sentencing Guidelines Section 3E1.1b. In this case, there was a somewhat unusual circumstance in that all of the parties, including the government, agreed that, in fact, Mr. DeBerry had met the requirements of 3E1.1b. That is, that he did, in fact, timely enter a guilty plea in this case, and he did so in a fashion in which the government did not have to prepare for trial, and in fact, even at sentencing.
The problem I have with your argument is you're treating this guideline as if it created an entitlement for a defendant, that if he, you know, is going to, if he notifies authorities of his intention to enter a plea of guilty, etc., in time, then he's entitled to that extra point. But if that were what the guidelines said, you wouldn't require a motion by the government.
Your Honor, I would disagree and not disagree, but point out another factor to the court. First, acceptance of responsibility is clearly not an automatic. A defendant must meet certain requirements.
Yeah, but look at A. Subsection A says, if the defendant clearly demonstrates acceptance of responsibility, decrease the offense level by 2 levels. Now, B has a very different structure. It doesn't say if the defendant has assisted authorities in the investigation, etc., decrease the offense level by 1 additional level. It says that if the government files a motion stating that, then he gets the decrease. If the government doesn't file a motion, he's not entitled to a decrease.
I understand that, Your Honor, and I think that as we cited to some of the history behind the change in this provision, clearly the reason that the government is vested with the discretion to make the recommendation for the third point or to make the motion for the third point is that clearly the government is in the best position to assess.
No, that's not right. That's because that's equally true of A. The government is in the best position to determine whether he accepts responsibility. No,
that wasn't the
purpose of no. The purpose of B is to give another weapon to the government. That's the purpose of B. It's to give another negotiating tool to the government. It can, you know, if as an inducement to someone to plead guilty and save, you know, the bother of a trial, it can ask for another level. And the whole history of it suggests this is intended to benefit the government. This is not intended to benefit a defendant.
Well, Your Honor, I was not going to say that it was to the discretion of the government to entirely determine whether or not acceptance of responsibility had been met. What I was going to say was that the change in the language prior to 2003 into this provision clearly vests the government with the discretion of determining whether, in fact, the plea of guilty was timely and in a fashion that, in fact, fulfills the actual text of the provision, so that to timely notify authorities of the intention to enter the guilty plea, and then the significant language, thereby permitting the government to avoid preparing for trial and permitting the government and the court to allocate resources.
The government files a motion, but where is there any suggestion that has to file a motion?
Well, Your Honor, where we are contesting is that the text of this provision indicates that the government is the one that assesses whether or not these...
No, you're not answering my question. Where does it say the government has to file a motion?
There is nothing that says the government has to file a motion.
So this is for the government's benefit. If it wants, if it sees an advantage in giving this person an additional a discount, then it can file a motion. If it doesn't see an advantage in doing that, it doesn't have to.
Your Honor, obviously the court is reading more broadly than my argument to the court. And that is that there is significant in the thereby language to 3E1.1b.
That's the condition. No, that's what the motion has to say. But I don't see where it is anywhere suggested that the government has to file the motion.
Your Honor, I think it's problematic in reading this text and to look at the history of this provision to read out of that history that what, in fact, was the intention of the commission was to vest the determination as to the timing of the plea and to the evaluation of resources that were expended to take that away from the government. Because clearly the government is in the best position to make that determination. Obviously, the way Your Honor is reading the provision is that, in essence, none of that language would be relevant. And certainly the text could have said the government has the sole unfettered discretion to determine whether or not a motion should be filed. The rest of the text would be rendered completely and utterly unnecessary because then, in fact, 3E1.1B could be used for any purpose the government sees it to be used.
Correct. The Sentencing Commission would not want to say if the government files a motion, you know, the person can get an additional discount. It wants to limit the government's authority. Government has to show that there's a resource saving reason for filing the motion. Otherwise, the motion will be denied.
I believe,
but that still doesn't say the government has to file a motion in the first place.
That's true, Your Honor, and there are very few places in the law where discretion is rendered and then, in fact, there is a statement and a motion must be filed. However, in this case, the text of the language indicates the commission's desire that, in fact, the government retain...
No, doesn't it? This is just something, if the government wants to do it, it can do it. What is... You know, it's like saying the government can try two defendants together, right? That doesn't mean the government has to try two defendants together.
No, and we have provisions to keep that from happening in the appropriate case. Your Honor, in I believe it was Townsend in 1996, this court specifically talked about the purpose of acceptance of responsibility as a reward to defendants who, in fact, do accept responsibility. They show true contrition. They do it at a time.
Why do you think A doesn't require a motion by the government?
In essence, I believe that it doesn't require a motion from the government, but certainly the government has a contribution
right.
to be made
so
in whether
does
acceptance.
So why require a motion?
Because the second provision is intended for an additional reward to a defendant who, in fact, doesn't just walk in and accept responsibility on the eve of trial, but as the provision provides, saves both the government and the trial court resources and efficiency by doing so in a timely manner, Your Honor.
The problem is that your argument is basically that the exercise of discretion to file the motion is mandatory if the condition is met, which is a contradiction in terms.
Your Honor, I don't believe I'm arguing it's mandatory. I'm arguing that the discretion is not limitless and that the discretion to withhold the point for acceptance of responsibility by the government should not be permitted to be used for any purpose whatsoever. And in this case, in essence, the government has agreed that all of the purposes were met. Unlike in Sands, unlike in Pacheco in this case, where the issue about the third point was whether or not the defendant had actually accepted responsibility, here there's no issue of acceptance of responsibility.
Well, is there acceptance of responsibility if he won't sign a waiver of appeal?
Well, Your Honor, the government has not argued that. And in fact,
well, I know they have, but I'm asking you that question.
I would say, Your Honor, I'm aware of no law that would it or case law that would accept the provision that a defendant
well,
must waive
appeal.
Well, you
say I accept responsibility, but I'm going to appeal anyway.
Well, in this case, Your Honor, there was an outstanding decision that could have been required appeal, and that would have had been related to the defendant's prior criminal history.
The other aspect of the waiver of appeal is also permitting the government to allocate their resources efficiently. If you don't have the appeal, you don't have to deal with it.
And reserving the right to appeal, Your Honor, doesn't necessarily mean an appeal would go forward. In fact, in this case, the only issue being appealed is the third point. Had the defendant, in fact, been given full credit for acceptance, he would not, Your Honor, we would not be here today.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Connor. Mr. Kohler?
May it please the Court, Josh Kohler for FLE United States. The defendant argues that this Court, quote, got it wrong in Sianas Percadio. Sianas Percadio relied on well-established precedent. Its reasoning was sound, as was the reasoning of the district court in this case. Section 3E1.1B means exactly what it says. A district court cannot grant an additional level departure for acceptance of responsibility if the government doesn't make a motion. Now, defendant has argued that this is a somewhat unique situation because the parties have agreed that some of the factors set forth in 3E1.1B are present, other than the mandatory factor of the government making a motion. However, that precise issue was addressed by the Fifth and Ninth Circuits in United States v. Newsom and United States v. Melinda Beltran, respectively. They both followed similar reasoning to Sianas Percadio and came to the conclusion that the guidelines mean exactly what they say. The government must make the motion. And making that motion is a power, not a duty of the government, just as the Supreme Court recognized in Wade versus United States when speaking of substantial assistance motions. Now, in a post-Booker world, sentencing courts have, of course, another tool that they can use if they feel that the government is not exercising its discretion properly and somehow creating inequities. And the district court here looked to all the 3553A factors. It made an independent determination, completely divorced from the guidelines, that a 57-month sentence was appropriate. And what that demonstrates is that not only is the defendant's argument here hollow, it would also fail to harmless error review. The United States would request that the defendant's sentence be affirmed and will rest on its brief unless the court has any further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kohler, and thank you, Ms. Connor, for accepting the appointment and your efforts on behalf of your client. Next case for